Hey guys, welcome to the Learn Feng Shui podcast, where you'll learn Feng Shui from a classical point of view, taking out the myth and superstition. So if you're interested in learning Feng Shui, Chinese astrology, all things Chinese metaphysics, as well as the superstitions and myths that connect it all, you'll enjoy learning Feng Shui with me. Hey guys, today we're going to talk about when Feng Shui ruins your life. Does Feng Shui have the potential to ruin your life or cause horrible things to happen? And my answer is kind of yes and no. Let's get into it on today's episode. So can Feng Shui ruin your life? I think the answer is yes and no, and yes, but not in a way that we think. I think there's several different circumstances where Feng Shui can ruin your life. So I'm Candace Berlanga, certified Feng Shui practitioner and Red Ribbon professional with the International Feng Shui Guild. So kind of some tongue-in-cheek articles here that I found. And I do think there's several instances where Feng Shui can ruin your life, but more along the lines of like when you let it control you, you know, what if you're being scammed, you know, what if you're relying on somebody that's not trustworthy? You know, these are all instances where Feng Shui can ruin your life. So let's get into it today and talk about when Feng Shui ruins your life. All right, so I think that Feng Shui can ruin your life when you try to shift the blame for your issues onto Feng Shui. And so not taking accountability and blaming your Feng Shui is not a good thing, you know, having these unrealistic expectations. I'm going to be referencing quite a few articles in this show, so I'll put a link to all of them. The first one is called Learn Feng Shui and Blame the Furniture. So I think he makes some really good points. It's kind of a fun little article, but he does make a point. He says, you thought life's problems were all your fault. Nah, girl, it's your sofa holding you back, right? So we kind of shift that blame and try to blame something else around us so we don't have to take accountability. Another one-liner he says is that, you know, did you find out your entire life has been a lie because your bed faced the door, right? There's so many things that we can blame, I think, and not taking accountability, trying to shift that blame and say, oh, it's because of the feng shui or the feng shui didn't work, you know, and it's all the feng shui's fault, right? It's all the feng shui of my home. Remember, feng shui is only our environment. And so when we look at feng shui as a whole, it actually falls into the category the five arts of Chinese metaphysics. It falls under physiognomy, which is the study or shape of the appearance of something. And in Feng Shui's case, it is the study or shape of the appearance of your environment. It's literally just your environment. There is other different factors like our personal energy. And of course, there is our choices and actions. Remember, there's that concept of heaven, earth, and man. So heaven and earth, you know, that's our choices and actions. That's the energy that, you know, we're born with, our personal energy. And the earth is our environment and our Feng Shui. And so that's literally the last factor. And so when we align all these three, we do see results, but you still have to be putting in the effort and the work to get those results and to amplify that energy here in our environment. Okay. So things like wealth activations, you know, placing water, doing the fans, like I talk about, or even launching stuff on good dates are all good energies that support you, but it still has to support your action. And so one example I have of that is I had a friend that she had just sent me a message and she was going to launch the website and I gave her some general good dates. I don't think I did like very specific to her. She had launched the website or whatever, no problem. But later on, she kind of came back and messaged me and I saw it, but I didn't respond because I honestly don't know how to respond to this. But she basically said, hey, I've been learning some date selection and I feel like this date you gave didn't work. And that's when I launched the website. Is that why my website basically hasn't like taken off, I guess? And it's not magic, guys. It's not magic. Your website's not automatically going to blow up and, you know, you have this crazy, you know, have to turn work down type of thing. Just because you launched on a certain day, there's different factors too. Like Did you do the SEO, like the fun, the search engine optimization? Have you contacted Google to run some ads? Have you put some money into that? Have you tried to get, your website listed at the top of the page? There's definitely some different things like that. So if you're not even searchable, that energy is not gonna take you as far. You understand what I'm saying? And so, yeah, just because you launch on a good day or you do a feng shui activation, you still have to do the work and put the energy and effort into it. And then it's like it amplifies that energy. And so, in this example, the website would have probably done fine. It like the website looks good and it's there. But if you haven't put the rest of the energy behind it, then it's still not going to go anywhere, And so again, we can kind of shift the blame. We can blame feng shui. We can say, no, it's because of this Chinese metaphysics concept. So when we start blaming and shifting the blame and not taking accountability and expecting feng shui to be magic, yes, then it can ruin your life. Okay, so the next instance here where feng shui can ruin your life is when feng shui inconveniences you to the point, you're trying to have this good feng shui, it's perfect feng shui, but it's inconveniencing you in some way that it's impeding or like it's stopping you from just living your life. Okay, we don't want to do that either. So here, this article is from a blog post called Dig a Hole to China, and it's labeled an American 20-something living, working, and playing in China. It's from early 2009. And she says, "Why feng shui is ruining my life here," is this one's entitled, right? And so she says, "Yes, I know we all like to think of feng shui as a trendier interior design, but the meaning behind it is wind, wind and water is what it translates to." And she says here that from the Chinese view of astronomy and philosophy, they interpret that to mean that they need to have an airflow or qi running through their home so it doesn't feel stuffy. And she says, despite the fact that it's drizzling rain of 42 degrees, half of the windows and both the doors and the office are opened, so it's said to be good feng shui. So she tried to tell her colleagues, I guess they said it's not healthy to have all the windows closed because it could be stuffy and you can get sick and the air won't be good. So she says here, thanks to the cold front we've experienced recently, the colleagues finally decided that it's time to put the space heater out, but still have the windows and doors wide open because the air quality will be bad, they're saying. So yes, if feng shui is inconveniencing you to the point where you have your windows open in the middle of winter to get quote unquote good feng shui in the space, then that may be when it's ruining your life. So yeah, you might want to rethink that. It's not bad to close the windows up or to occasionally, open them either. So we want to have a balance, remember? So you don't have to open the windows every day to have good feng shui, and you definitely don't have to inconvenience yourself on account of good feng shui either. So another instance of where feng shui can ruin your life is if you let it completely control everything you do within your home. So if you are completely controlled and you can't do anything without having this quote unquote perfect feng shui, then it might be ruining your life. So my example here is from an article, and I guess there is a show called Grand Designs New Zealand. So if you're out that way, hello, you may have seen this. It says here, is a feng shui house too much of a compromise? And I think it makes some great points because there's accounts of the owners of the home, the ones that commissioned the building here. Apparently one of them, the wife, I guess, is a feng shui enthusiast, maybe. I want to say that when they shared this article in one of the feng shui groups online or on Facebook, they talked about the fact that I guess she's related to a feng shui master, like a popular one. So I'm not really sure who that is. But yeah, she claims that her house is perfect feng shui. And to me, she actually overlooked quite a few things that would honestly be a red flag to any school of feng shui. To me, I think it's, we can talk about that in a second. We'll come back to that. But the point is that she, for the builder's accounts, chased them around with a compass And was like, oh, it needs to be 2 degrees this way, 2 degrees that way, you know. So she was very particular in that aspect. Her husband even said that at one point he threw up his hands and was like, is there anywhere that we can put anything? Because, you know, it seems like they couldn't put anything anywhere, right? It says here that that she was just very particular, very, very particular. And it says here that she scoured the coastline to find the perfect feng shui spot where, quote unquote, the dragons were playing on the mountains in the open sea, and it had two ridges that offer protection. So to me, she was going more off landform, which is good, but when you do that, you I don't know, it's just, you don't have to be so particular. You know, they built with the beautiful seaside view, and it does say their master bedroom doesn't even, like, she wouldn't let their master bedroom be located to look out to the view because it was a bad direction for her, she says. Yeah, so there's just some things like that. But when you look at the bedroom, she put the bed in the middle of the floor, like literally in the middle of the floor. That's a big feng shui no-no because that goes against internal forms. So, just very strange to me. It says here that the builders did state that they did not build lightly on the land, but had to make brutal, massive cuts in order to out of the land and build a fortress-like foundation. So to me, that's not really building in line with nature. And yeah, I just don't know. It says she also built cabinets and cupboards that exist purely to lock away negative calamity energy. I've never heard of that. I don't want to, you know, be too mean, but there's a lot of things that I see. Even though the way they oriented the house on the land, it may be a good land form, but the way they built their home on the land is not in line with those forms, if that makes sense. So I don't know. To me, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't call it a perfect feng shui home. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure what to think about this house, but you can kind of look at the article for yourself. But definitely, when you're running around with a compass and chasing your home builders around and cutting into a giant piece of the cliff and forcing a home there, in all the name of good feng shui, I could say that maybe it's dominated your life at that point. Another time that it can ruin your life is if somebody tries to sell you really expensive items. Like if it's making a financial burden on you, you do not want to continue with that feng shui master, okay? Don't do that. Most of the time, you will not ask to buy crazy items, like big items, okay? And so here in this article, so if feng shui can ruin your life, if it has a negative financial impact, or if they're encouraging you to overspend, okay? So that's when it can have a negative impact on you. So here it does say that an Upper West Side woman is suing a self-proclaimed home spirituality master after she hired her to bring in harmony to her apartment. She says that he bilked her out of $1 million in allegedly fake Chinese antiquities and burial plots. And so if somebody's telling you you need to buy $1 million worth of stuff, you know, I mean, you can put me on retainer for $1 million and I'll be your feng shui consultant for life, okay? If you really want me to do that, and I'll never ask you to buy anything, like barely, maybe a salt jar or something, okay? So it says here that after assessing Han's apartment in 2015, the decorative and lifestyle guru told her that he and his wife had received some shipments and valuable antiques from the Qing Dynasty period belonging to their family and would be able to give them to her at a good price. And they were supposed to be, I guess, lucky, blessed, something like that. It says here that Han was interested in an imperial seal and would go on to buy five other items, and dropping about $140,000 on the family document markers traditionally carved out of jade, and was told that they were genuine antiques and they had belonged to a Chinese general. In addition to the seal, she also purchased porcelain, scriptures, and other allegedly phony pieces that he recommended to her. It says the scheme started to unravel when she had the items appraised and found that they were actually just worthless, which is just devastating, guys. Y'all don't have to buy anything like that. No expensive statues or anything like that. If somebody's encouraging you to buy stuff, just consider before you buy it. Don't buy it unless you really like it, and don't think you'd have to buy expensive items. So if you are one that likes to put out feng shui items, you do not have to purchase any expensive items. Do not do that. It says that she also, I guess, bought some burial plots. Here it says that they should have only cost about $18,000, but apparently cost her quite a bit more than that. So yeah, she's suing for the outstanding $1 million that she had paid to him, fraud, unjust enrichment, and other claims. So that's just very unfortunate. So yeah, if it's too high of a financial cost, do not do that. That's when it can ruin your life. So do not let anybody, try to talk to you in this way, No claims like that, okay? There is another article here from this year, 2023. So this is just seems to be an ongoing thing. I think especially in like countries where feng shui is very popular, Southeast Asian countries or China, stuff like that. But here it says Hong Kong, $28 million. Somebody was cheated out of $28 million by a feng shui master. How terrible, right? He's now been sued. It says here the wife filed a complaint to the High Court on Wednesday, in April, but demanding that a feng shui master repay her and her husband. And it says here that they were told to provide their personal properties to Lee, the feng shui master, alleged feng shui master, last January for a ritual blessing. The pair handed over a Rolex watch, jewelry, gold, and a valued at over $4 million. It says Lee did not return the belongings to Fong as promised, and that they accused Lee of compromising and cheating other people out of about $15 million to buy properties in Hong Kong and the mainland, as well as a $1 million Bentley van and motorcycle. So if your feng shui master is driving a Bentley and they're asking for your Rolex, I don't think so. Like, I mean, nothing wrong with driving the Bentley, right? I mean, but if they're asking you to hand over a Rolex for a blessing, yeah, don't do that. All right, guys, well, hope you enjoyed today's episode. It's kind of a little lighthearted, fun one. I won't be back next week. I'll have one more episode this month on the 22nd, but that is going to be a really great episode. It's going to be a rebroadcast of the local radio program that I do once a month here. And this past month, it was focused on rebuilding after losing your home in a fire. And so, as you may or may not know, I live here in Texas and we're still currently experiencing one of the largest wildfires in Texas history, burning over 1 million acres with hundreds of homes being lost. And so, just kind of to stand in solidarity, I really want to focus on how you can support, your friends, your neighbors, family members that have lost their home in a fire. So I was joined by Emily Jameson, who's a friend and a client, and she has actually lost her home 2 times in a fire, once as a teenager and once last year as an adult. And she is a life coach, and so now she focuses on shifting that practice to helping people overcome losing their home in a fire. And she does have a free downloadable guide and all kinds of stuff. So I'm excited to present that also on the podcast. A lot of valuable information, and not just for fire loss, but also just for any sort of tragedy you may face. Those steps can look the same as far as dealing with it and helping your family members deal with it. So just, just some great information and, kind of this toolkit we have of life, right? We have to have these emotional skills, that can help us through, because in life we just experience tragedy sometimes. It's just part of life. But so it's a little more serious episode, next one on the 22nd. So I'll catch you guys then, and you guys have a great week. For a free one room consultation or energy mapping of your space, follow the link in the show notes. To support the podcast, share with your family and friends, leave a review, or go to learnfengshui.com.